never know, Uther. I intend to live forever.
How dare you show your face here? Faces.
Don't laugh at that, you idiot!
A lot of story there, a lot of lore. For those of you who are into that kind of thing, I love you.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Lore, the podcast that explores where we've been and where we may go next in the world of Warcraft.
Welcome, everyone, to Live, Laugh, Lore, episode 102, the show that only goes to war over food. And even that doesn't last long. Each episode, we'll check in, have some laughs, and talk all about the lore of Warcraft, one or two topics at a time. My name is Allie, the one that finally got a first place win in Plunderstorm. Hooray. And joining me is the one that did a great job guesting on Recruiter Friend. It's Jin.
I did. Yeah. I was like, it was a good episode. I liked that. I enjoyed that experience of Recruiter Friend. If you haven't listened, check it out. It's episode... I don't remember what episode number it was. It was episode... Yeah, I can tell you if you wanted to look it up as we're both looking at our podcast players and... Probably go to the Warcraft section, Recruit Friend. Oh, there's the one with Jin. It doesn't really have an episode number. That's why
it's season 4, episode 8.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the one with Jin is what it's called.
So literally the one with Jin, because it is the one with Jin. But yeah, Recruit Friend is so much fun because it's more fun off the wall questions, and but you also get to know the person too, and you know, it's good times on that show and listening to that show, and Jin rocked it.
Yep, it was a good one. So if you haven't had a listen, definitely do that. I would highly recommend. I would actually recommend all the episodes because they're all good.
They are. I enjoyed them. I agree. Well, hey, in addition to that, what have you been up to?
Well, that's kind of what I was going to say I've been up to. What else have I been up to? Not much. I already told you about the new car. I already told you about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. New dishwasher. That thing's pretty sweet. I like that. Oh,
that's exciting.
That's super exciting. No first place in Plunderstorm yet. It's Whirlpool. It's a Whirlpool dishwasher.
That's exciting.
It's so quiet. It's so nice. Mother effing quiet compared to my old one. Like our old one, you had to like crank the TV up to like 70, 80, 90 sometimes because it was like. Rah, rah, rah. But no, this thing's like whoa.
Just like that.
It is something like that. It's pretty close. That's what the dishwasher sounds like. Oh, it's beautiful. These are the things I get excited about as an adult.
The joys of being, the joys of being an adult. You get excited.
Dishwasher.
Over. Hey, woo.
It's pretty nice. I like it. I'm a big fan of it. Because you're just like, oh man, I can hear the TV and the dishwasher's going, what is this? What is this magic? This is insanity.
Lovely.
So speaking of which, I guess insanity. What do you have to do, Allie?
Well, we did do some D&D.
We did do that. That was a little insane. A little bit.
It was a little insane. Had his moments.
And then a dragon. Another dragon. But that last dragon was nice. So he's like, oh, yeah. Hey.
A lot of dragons happened.
How's it going?
I had this grand idea that my character was going to climb up a cliff.
That did not work.
And then jump on top of the dragon with my axes and be really badass. And then the dragon moved away and it didn't work. And eventually I fell off, as I do. So I'm klutzy in D&D as I am in real life. It's fine.
Yeah, it does happen. It does happen. My favorite is the fact that regardless of whatever we've tried, whatever, doesn't matter, every single intimidation roll you've ever made, let's just say it's not very intimidating. It's not intimidating at all. It's adorable.
One day I'm going to be so intimidated you don't even know.
One day. Indeed.
One day. It was not Saturday, but one day I will be intimidating. Rawr.
What do we say to the god of intimidation? Not today. That's what Morgan says. No, not today. I am not scary. Yep. So, is that it? You got anything else going on? Is that some D&D, some goodness, and Plunderstorm in action?
Some Plunderstorming action. I'm at renowned 30, 31? I haven't played much in the last few days.
You're a lot further along than I am. Actually I'm like did. 15.
I guess I have actually... I haven't played in a couple days, so it feels like longer, but it's literally only been like two. Yeah, it's a Plunderstorm. I'm still working on my Tyvon stuff for the meta achievement.
That's going to be a while.
Yeah. When we get there, though, like I finished the scrolls over in Forbidden Reach. The trick is, if you're going for it too, get into a farm group who's up in the northeast doing Froststone Vault, I think it's called. Frost something. It's up in the, it's in the northeast section of the island there. And it's the vault, like right outside is usually where like the big elemental storm baddie shows up. You have to like go kill like four different thingies to like make the boss activate that area. Yeah, it's up there. But if you get into a group that is killing things inside the vault, especially if you use a special item that lets you, you know, increase your chance to get scrolls, basically, it actually drops much quicker. Like that is the way to go, which also gets you points towards your getting treasures on Forbidden Reach. So if you're doing this grind like me, try and get your Tyvon mount. That's the way to do it. Go team, go.
Go Aqua Teen Hunger Force or something like that.
Sure.
Frylock and Milkshake.
Team Good Doggo.
Team Good Doggo. Okay. Yeah, there you go. I like that better. Team Good Doggo.
I like that one. That's what we're team Good Doggo watch. That's what we're on right now.
Team Good Boy.
Yes. He's such a good boy. So yeah, so I am still waiting for them to fix the achievement because they have came out and said there's some achievements that didn't track. So I'm waiting for that. Like the Eon's Fringe stuff. I've done more than enough to qualify, but that's broken. So they're fixing it.
Well, fixing the Eon Fringe, which I've done all of maybe one daily quest out there. So I don't know, much.
They're just fun little things.
I believe you. I'll take your word for it.
Little lighthearted fun things, you know. I'm easily amused. You know how I am.
In the opposite advice of reading Rainbow, I will take your word for it.
Good job. Okay.
Okay.
But that's about it for me. I think we should move on.
I think we can handle that. This is my turn to do the awkward. I will embrace my inner awkward.
I didn't make it super awkward this time.
I don't know. I'd be awkward though. Or I don't know. I could go be super serious. Super serious.
You be as awkward as you want. Do it.
I don't know. Maybe I want to be super serious. So let's try that.
Are you tired of listening to podcasts and news shows where people yell and argue with each other? Oh yeah, brother. Do you like to spend your time listening to and supporting shows that have fun with the content? Oh yeah, brother. I don't know what else Macho Man Randy Savage said, but oh yeah, brother. Okay. It was to make you laugh, think, and enjoy your time. Well then, brother, welcome to Live Laugh Lore. If you want to know how you can find out how you can support the show, please stay tuned until the end. Brother, sister, and non-binary pals, hey, everybody's welcome. Live Laugh Lore. Macho Man Randy Savage.
What you talking about? What you talking about?
You were all saying you were going to be super serious.
That was super serious. What you talking about?
That didn't last long.
I'm super serious.
I'm so serious, guys. I'm so serious.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyways, hey, as we all know, we are getting to a new expansion this year at some point. It's called With the War Within. We know certain things about what this expansion will entail and, you know, all of that. It's also been hinted that this title might have a double meaning. The war within.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of inner battle that a lot of us deal with, honestly. And we've already seen from the trailer released at BlizzCon that Anduin is one of the ones that are hardcore struggling with some inner turmoil. Much like I struggle to talk, he's struggling with some inner turmoil.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some inner turmoil.
Yeah. Sure. It's all about that war within, right? So I thought it would be kind of fun and interesting to take some time, kind of loosey-goosey, you know, consider what other inner battles we may or may not see from other characters and whatnots in this expansion. Obviously, it's not out yet. We're mostly speculating here. It's not really spoilery, but if you don't want to hear any of this future speculation business, feel free to skip the episode. Come back at a later date and you can see if we were right or wrong.
Wrong. Yeah. We were wrong.
Probably. I mean, some of these, like, it's going to be kind of obvious what it is, but some of those, we might be wrong. I don't know. We'll have to find out. Yeah.
I likely hope that we were wrong.
Yeah. It's probably pretty much. So I thought we'd start with kind of with the big picture. Big as in a planet, big, right? And then we'll work our way in. We'll start big and work our way in. I start with Azeroth. I don't know why I'm doing hand things. Yeah, just like that.
It's like a Russian nesting doll. Okay, I got it.
Exactly. Starting with Azeroth. Are we going to witness an inner war with Azeroth?
Mm, like, I got the sads, and like, I like Smeagol and Gollum yelling at each other kind of thing. Like, is that the inner war we're talking about?
Maybe. Or just, you know, like with Azeroth, is she okay?
No, I don't think so.
Is Azeroth okay? Is it corrupted? Like, are we getting a corrupted Azeroth?
Azeroth, I don't think they're all right. I think they're having some struggles. Because obviously we got old gods, you know, they got locked up, no more void. But then, you know, stick a stab, pow, like that sword, you know, hashtag what sword, that hurt.
That's definitely hurt. A lot of stitches for that one.
It's still in there too. Like,
yep.
You're just going around with a freaking stab wound in your shoulder blade or something, like, really hurts. So
yeah, just a bit.
So no, I don't think Azeroth's doing super hunky dory. I don't know what we're gonna be learning. What's gonna be happening to old Azeroth? I mean, what do you think? What do you think Azeroth's happening there?
I think Azeroth's probably corrupted and probably going to try and fight the corruption. But I had this random thought today of, what if Azeroth, you know, quote unquote hatches, as we're saying, and is fully corrupted?
Just like, I'm a void titan or whatever
else. Yeah, what happens?
What happens?
And then we get Illidan back and say, Illidan, we need Sargeras to help us fight Azeroth. You gotta let him go, man. He's gotta fight Azeroth. He was right all along. He's gotta get his sword back out of her shell. Or her back, depending on where it's going to end up. And he's got to fight her. And that's how we get Illidan back. What if?
I mean, I can see that as that's written. But I don't know. The only reason I'm thinking that they probably won't do that is, I don't know. There's a lot kind of like resting on this whole world soul. And probably honestly, there's probably a lot of resting on the world soul saga. So, but I don't know. Like maybe that is what they'll do. Because what, like, let's play out the speculation of, okay, let's say that, oh, the World Soul Saga, blah, 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 whatever happens. What if Azeroth wakes up and they're not corrupted? Kick the shit out of all the bad people. And we're like the greatest of the Titans or whatever the hell Azeroth is. and yay. Yay.
Hooray.
Then what? Do we just have like freaking Galactus size like protector? Just like hanging out next to the planet? Because I mean, obviously we got to still play the game, so I don't think the planet's going to explode.
Probably not. I mean, we did play in Argus and it was, you know, explodey.
Well, it was in chunks.
But
not exploded.
No.
Yeah, like maybe there's like a little section that had a problem. Explodey a little bit, like crawling out. I don't know. Maybe.
She was, Azeroth was polite when they, you know, crashed out of their shell and just did like in a small space.
Maybe eventually Azeroth. You ever watch Garfield and Friends back in the day?
Right? Yes.
Yeah, you remember how one of the little chicks was just a couple feet coming out of an egg? Maybe that'll be Azeroth. Maybe Azeroth will just get a feetsies and then just walk around with the planet. You never know.
It'd be really awkward, but also really funny.
Yeah. That could be it. But I just don't know what they would do with the character of Azeroth, you know what I mean? If it was suddenly like, Azeroth, a titan now, and they're off doing their amazing journey stuff with the pal Eonar, because Amonthul was bad guy or something, I don't know. Now they're off to fix and order the rest of the universe that they, I don't know, the Burning Legion broke. I don't know, they gotta go fix what the Burning Legion broke, I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're doing with the Azeroth. I don't know what they're doing. Because I'm just like, why would you even make that as a character? You know, going forward. Like what?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. It's not really relatable.
Yeah.
Can't really relate to the power of a planet. Like Captain Planet, but Azeroth. Captain Azeroth.
I hope Azeroth has its own theme song. It'd be great.
It would be great. I mean, in many ways, we're kind of like Captain Azeroth, us as the players. Because if you remember from Captain Planet, there actually was Gaia, was the character, basically.
Yeah,
the soul of the planet is who they got their orders from. So Azeroth in this analogy would have been Gaia. So,
which, I mean, kind of works because Azeroth re-empowered the aspects, right? Like,
yeah, the aspects are the planeteers. Thing. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they got a sixth one now too.
We go. We're set.
We're good. Even though they only had five planeteers, we just made up a sixth one with Viranov.
Because it's fine. It works.
Four elements and heart. Because my tea is really great with the heart. So
yeah.
I don't know what to do with Azeroth. I mean, that would be pretty cool though if Illidan was like, I brought backup. It's Sargeras.
Twist.
It's like, oh no, Azeroth was the villain all along. Oh, no.
Right, I was gonna say Sargeras was right all along.
That Diamond King really was made a pawn. He was telling us to follow the corrupted world soul. That bitch.
What? Maybe the real meaning of the whisper right there.
Mm-hmm. Very much a pawn. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, next up, we got Horde versus Alliance. You know, a war is supposedly over, and we're at peace now. Supposedly. Do we think that war will strike back up in this next expansion?
No, not in this expansion. I definitely don't think that's going to be something that they're going to trot out again. And I don't think they're going to trot it out in full force like Battle for Azeroth ever again. My guess is that there will be tension among the Horde and Alliance going forward in the future, but it's never going to affect us player characters again. I mean, for God's sakes, they gave us cross-faction guilds. So
right, and they're supposed to be increasing the amount of things we can do cross-faction, so...
Yeah, so that, like, the full-out, like, worldwide war that was, you know, touted for Battle for Azeroth, that ain't never happened again. But I absolutely can see factions within, you know, the different factions, smaller factions in the factions, the resting nesting dolls of factions, if you will.
Right, exactly, like pockets of people like, and things that don't like each other.
Like, perfect example, there's some shady-ass characters up there in the Undercity with the Forsaken.
So yeah,
someone's up to some shiz, right? They're gonna get up to something, but that don't mean the Alliance couldn't be up to some stuff too. They could be like, I hate the people. I hate them.
I mean, we saw in Season Discovery, right? That one Larry Dustfeather, whatever their name was, who was actually not happy about the Night Elves joining the Alliance. Like,
yeah,
that could end up being a thing.
Yeah, it absolutely could be a thing. So there's lots of opportunities for bad actors on either side to cause issues. That is really, honestly, that's an easy story to write. Just be like, this asshole did a thing that he wasn't supposed to. Now they're arguing. Oh no. Drama.
Oh no. Yeah. All right. Now, what about the war within the Horde? Do we think we'll see some drama with this Horde Council as we start to, I mean, we haven't heard from Talanji in quite a while, right? Like, we haven't seen Zakan. Unless the con was around for the Ub-Nub and I missed it. I don't remember seeing him.
I don't think so.
So, like, what's going on here? Like, do you think we're going to get some war within the Horde?
So, right now, I really don't know when they could weave that story in to the kind of overall plot line. I mean, maybe with some of the, like, early leveling up areas, especially, like, when we get into Midnight where they're going to, where it appears to be that the plan is to revamp some of the stuff in the old world.
Right.
So maybe they'll change some stuff up here, put in some quest lines. I don't know. Maybe up the level cap for a couple zones. Maybe we'll go back to the Ghostlands or something. I don't know. And there could be some things that we find out about. Like, yeah, they could play up the whole fact that a lot of the Forsaken hate, at least the Forsaken players, hate Kalia Menethil.
Right. Yeah, we got that whole thing.
She's kind of on the council, so you absolutely play it up there. I don't think they're going to do it in Midnight. They could pull this out of the hat as like if they're going for big bang for your buck. I mean, there's no bigger bang, in my opinion, for like pulling a crazy surprise other than obviously maybe Illidan and Sargeras is pulling out Sylvanas at the last minute during like, you know, the last Titan or something like that. So I don't think there's going to be any Horde shenanigans during the war within. During the council, but during the saga, I could definitely see them doing something
at some point. Yeah.
But what do you think? Do you think, is there anyone on the council that you'd be like, I don't know, they don't get along with this person or they don't get along here? Because I can't.
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out. And honestly, it's hard to really know since we haven't gotten a follow up from, you know, Talanji and Zakan. And I mean, we've seen Kalia, we've seen Lillian. Like, we know that a bit. And we know, you know, Bane's been here and there, right? But we don't really. As a council, we don't know how they're doing.
Right.
So I'm kind of wondering if Blizzard could take advantage of like a 0.5 or even a 0.7 patch and just kind of follow up with some people we haven't, you know, worked with in a while, like a Talanji or the core council in general and how they're working together and not just the Forsaken group.
Yeah, because I really think we're in desperate need of a check in with the Talanji and Juan Somdi and all that kind of thing. And
Juan Somdi, I miss him.
How the whole, you know, Sylvanas not being killed, because that was one of the things that Juan Somdi really wanted, was Sylvanas' head. So obviously that didn't happen. So it seems like they're still aligned, the two sides. So how's that partnership going? And then the obvious kind of like question in the room when it comes to Talanji and all of that and the Loa is, you know, what's going on with Vol'jin? Is he ever going to come back as the, you know, the Loa of Kings? And he's suddenly re-injected in the whole friggin' like storyline with a connection to Talanji, right? So
that'd be cool. Yeah.
But yeah, I can't think of anything about the Horde Council though.
Yeah, and it may not necessarily be super dramatic, you know, between them, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my real problem is me as a staunch Alliance player is I'm thinking, who the hell's on the council again?
Right. Well, so I know it's Talanji. I think Sakan is just her advisor, if I remember right.
Yeah, because he doesn't represent like the Dark Spear or anything like that. I think my guess is that would be Rokan that represents the Dark Spear.
So yeah, I think Rokan might be on it. I don't remember though. I think they asked Thrall to be part of it.
Rokan, however you say his name, I can't remember.
Yeah. Lothramar, I think, is on it.
Yeah, probably Lothramar and Thalissra.
And his wife.
Yeah. It'd be awkward if there's the war within. It's whenever the two of them vote on opposite ways.
That's an issue.
Yeah, it's like, why the hell did you vote against my resolution? Well,
I disagreed with it.
I thought it was stupid.
Oh, man.
That's the war within.
There you go.
Friggin' Lothramar sleeping on the couch.
Poor Lothramar.
Voted against Thalissra. Hey,
that's a mistake. The one I'm really curious about, I think we might see something. Will the Alliance finally have some inner turmoil?
I mean,
the community's talked for quite a while about how, like, it's always drama within the Horde and things not going right for the Horde. And, you know, a lot of people have been saying it's probably Alliance's turn. Like, are we going to finally start seeing that in this expansion?
I think we might start getting some hints of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually think Turalyon is, like, this super zealot, awful character. But I do think he has some pretty... I guess I would be like, he has some pretty not staunch, but like he's set in his ways with his thinking. So
yeah.
He's very stubborn is how I kind of see him. He's very stubborn. And it really kind of comes down to if freaking Anduin decided that it was time for him to come back, I'm not sure Turalyon would step aside. He might view Anduin as, I don't know, like, you're not ready, man. You can't handle the pressure. You just sit down, let the adult take over from here. I think that could be an easy way of, you know, getting some type of alliance trauma over there. Because if Turalyon doesn't step down, you could easily be like, okay, well, Gen and probably Tess and several others would likely side with Anduin. Who knows how others would fall, you know? I'm sure Tyrande would probably side with Anduin.
Most likely.
Gen might convince her? Is that how I'm seeing
maybe.
It?
Maybe. I mean, between Tyrande and Anduin, I see her going towards Anduin, but Anduin didn't help the way she was hoping.
Right.
That he would when the tree burned down. So, and chasing Sylvanas and whatnot, right? So, I don't know how much Tyrande will want to actually get involved in that.
I don't know if she's got enough to, you know, she's tired. She needs a break.
Her man's back. They're off having some fun.
They're having a break. They're burnt out. They need a little R&R. I get it.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's, I think it is time for some alliance turmoil, and I do think it will be centered around Tyrallian. Maybe wanting to do what he thinks is best, because that's kind of how he works, is that it's like, no, I'm going to do what's best for the alliance or what's best for these people. And I'm not going to let some dude who is just been just up and left, right?
It's like, okay, obviously he had a little bit of a PTSD, a little bit of a thing, but when he had the opportunity to come back, he said, nah, I'm tired. I don't know. I don't think Tyrallian would view that in a very positive light. He'd probably be like, no, you're not up for the job. You're just not. And I think a lot of people might agree with that. So,
well, we already got whisperings between Matthias and Gen, right? When Matthias and Gen were off in the corner talking about how, you know, there's been sightings of Anduin, and
yeah,
Matthias was like, should I tell Tyrallian? Like, should I go report this? And Gen's like, no, let's, like, there's a reason why Gen said no, right? Like,
yeah,
there's a little, like, something might be boiling to the surface right there on that area.
I do too. I really think so. I'm fairly positive that is where that one's going. Is Tyrallian will? I don't think he's gonna give up the throne. I mean, obviously, if it was written the way that he's like, oh, welcome back, Anduin, I totally buy it because he is a good dude. But I just don't see him stepping aside when someone looking in such a ragged shape as Anduin, if he showed up anytime soon, he'd be like, nope.
No, you lost your light.
Mm-mm. I'm not letting you step back onto the throne. That's kind of how I'm thinking it might play out.
Yeah, I can see that. And there also might be issues within the alliance revolving around Tyrallian, depending on what Illyria does.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Other than get a cool new character model.
Right. Yeah, definitely cool. Well, there are some characters that we know will have a big part of the expansion. Either we've already seen them because of the trailer or info given at BlizzCon, or their characters are obviously being set up to be a part of something. You know, for example, it's very clear in the trailer for War Within that Anduin is having some internal struggles. You know, he's really having that War Within. I imagine that we will see a lot of his struggles with his own issues. How do we think that's going to play out?
I mean, obviously we can see it in the form of him not being able to summon or wield the light any longer.
Right.
It's even depicted in the fact that Charlemagne no longer has a glow in the blade. It's just empty. It's just there.
It's just empty. Are you waving Charlemagne around?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's Charlemagne.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just the hole. Just the hole. Don't ask what he uses it for, but it's a hole.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. Obviously, Thrall was like, "Hey, man, I know you got it. You're going through it right now, but I got you. I believe in you. I trust you." And that was probably enough of a kick in the pants for him to go, "Okay, I'll help you out." Like he said, he's like, "I'm gonna help you out." The voice is getting worse. Wow, what's going on? So, I mean, I don't really know what character journey he's gonna go on. I don't know if he's gonna be able to wield the light by the end of this expansion. That would actually be my guess, is by the end of the War Within, Anduin is like in full, I am the freaking paladin man, priesty thing, whatever. I don't know what class I am because of
paladin man, priesty thing.
Uh-huh, yeah. I mean, he's a priest at Hearthstone, but he's a freaking plate wearing badass in World of Warcraft. I don't know. What's happening? I don't know.
So then I guess the question of mine is then, are we going to see the war of light and void with him? Because we still have that shadowy tendril that slipped out from his sleeve that's never been addressed since then.
Mm-hmm.
And so as, you know, he is going on this journey and having his own internal battles in this expansion, are we going to see a little bit of light versus void in him?
Well, I mean, it's going to probably come down to what story are they trying to tell with Anduin?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of people assumed that the child of light and shadow that Zira was mentioning was Illidan, because that's what Illidan was like, oh, you found the child of light and shadow. But then a lot of people back then were thinking that this was something to deal with Erator, right? Because Erator is the pretty quintessential child of literal light and literal shadow kind of going together. But what if the child of light and shadow is actually Anduin? Right.
I mean, I guess we didn't consider that. at that time. So
well, we didn't have the shadow tendril coming out of his sleeve in the book when that debate was going on.
Right.
So maybe that's kind of what he is going to be having that internal war again about, is the doubts and the questions that the void brings against the certainty of the light. Because that's the really the big, I guess, issues and philosophical differences is within the light, there is only one way. There's no deviation.
Yeah.
This is it. And the void is endless possibility to the point that choice is impossible. So yeah,
right.
So you got to be able to walk the line with him. So yeah, it probably is going to somehow play out this internal struggle with him, you know, dealing with the shadowy tendrils that he's kind of feeling. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he has several conversations with Illyria during the course of the expansion, especially early on, as we're kind of like, because looking at the, you know, the concept art or the big title card art or whatever with, you know, Illyria and Anduin right there, I'm sure they'll have lots of conversations. And she'll be like, yes, the void is the spooky, it's the spooky indeed. It's cause make you go crazy if you let it. And he's like, oh, I kind of am crazy right now. And she's like, perfect candidate. Let's talk to the void. You're already crazy. So, so yeah, maybe that's how it'll at least start. Cause I mean, they're going to be traveling to practically the heart of the void land, which is the Nerubian place.
Right.
I don't remember. Azrael place. Blah.
Azrael Nerub.
No, it's a different place. That's not Northrend. This has got a different name. That's why
I know, but I still think we're gonna go there at some point.
Azrael Nebdubs.
Okay, Azrael place. Yep. Okay, so that's Anduin, and you know, we've seen Thrall. He's had his own issues over the years, his own internal battles. Will he have his own struggles in this expansion, or do we think he's just gonna kind of be mostly helping Anduin through his stuff and trying to figure out the world soul whispers and whatnot?
I'd be really weird if it was like the blind leading the blind over here, where it's like, hey, I got you, man. Yeah. I trust you, but I'm questioning myself. I am not certain.
Hey, I mean, I feel like that helps. That helps. I feel like that happens in a lot of friendships. when two people are struggling, but they care enough to try to help each other.
It's called trauma bonding. It's called trauma, yeah.
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 Exactly. You know, instead of like leaning on like one person or the other, you're leaning on each other.
They're like the whole world is shit and it's burning down around us, but we're in this together, buddy.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
I have a few friendships like that myself.
I don't know if Thrall's going to be like, I don't know, all super dowdy and pouty like he was before. I think he's done with that. I think he's done with that.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Thrall's gonna be like, hey, I've been there and back again, just like me and Bilbo. And it's rough, man. But you know what? I believe in you. I trust you. You'll get through it. And I think that's all he's doing. He's just like, look, I needed some help when I was going through a rough patch. Thanks, Wifey Poo. Appreciate that, Agra. You're the best. And he's like, hey, you don't have a girlfriend or a wife to lead you through this tough time. So, hey, maybe I can do that for you. And he's like, I appreciate that. I like that. I appreciate you, Thrall. So Thrall's just going to be like being a little mentor figure because, you know, Anduin hasn't had enough mentor figures in his life. One more. Right. One more could do.
Oh, Anduin. Yeah. All right. Next up, my girl Zalatath. She's back. Seems to be working for the Void. That's no surprise. We've also heard her also have issues in the past with the other old gods. Like she has vented about other old gods in the past. Now mm-hmm. She's apparently working with Erdacron, who I should probably add to this list. And she'll be doing things with the Nerubians and whatnot. Do we think we'll see Zalatath have her own personal internal war? Or is she going to be mostly focusing on the Void agenda?
I think she's going to be focusing on her agenda. Maybe that is aligned with what the Void's agenda is. Could be. But I don't necessarily think it 100% lines up. Right? Because she was talking so much smack about this friggin', you know, old god, and this old god sucked, and this old god sucked, and just talking so much smack about the old gods. It's like, you suck. You're the worst. Blech. And most likely the void's main agenda or whatever, well, I don't think they really care about execution. They probably care about, you know, the final product. They're like, eh, just make sure that we can consume the entire known universe. That's all we really care about. Just
that's one, important, you know.
Just one little, well, little tiny detail. That's all that we'd like. figured, you know, it's whatever you got to do. Whatever, endless possibilities. We are the void. Do whatever you want. So I'm sure
we are the void.
So I'm sure they're fine with whatever Zaltasso and internal little plan is. So I don't think she's got her own struggles other than maybe questioning, should I do it this way or that way? Nah, I don't think that's how they operate. She's like, no, I did it my way. Me and Frank, man, we did it my way. And
I can see that.
And that's what she's doing. She's like going to be amazing and girl bossing, and it's going to be great. I'm super happy for Zaltath and all her machinations that she's going to be up to.
Yes, I'm super excited to see what they do with her soon. Okay. And then one I just add to the list. I don't know why I didn't add it before. Riddicron.
I don't think Riddicron's showing up in the War Within. I think he's hiding out.
You think he's hiding out?
I think he's going to pop back up and either, I mean, he might make an appearance, but he's not going to be a boss or anything like that. I mean, they hyped this guy up to the point where he's like, I am going to punch a Titan in the face and it's going to be awesome.
Like, I agree. I don't think he's going to be a boss.
Yeah, I want him to get his chance to punch a Titan in the face. That's what I want for him. That is cool as hell. Like, yeah, why wouldn't you punch a Titan? That's awesome.
Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
He would definitely
want to.
Oh, yeah.
I think with him, what I want to know is, like, A, I agree. Like, I don't want him to be a boss. I want him to be killed early. Like, they got a good thing going with him. I want them to continue to build that up and kind of, you know, like with Lich King. That had a chance to build up and to grow, right? Like, unlike the jailer, which didn't. So I'd love to have a Riddicron actually get that chance. But I'm wondering if at some point he is going to have his own internal war, because, yeah, sure, he's got this deal worked out with Zaltath or the Void or whatever's happening with him. We all know how people in this situation tend to be tools and get discarded when they're done. Like, it's like, what happens? He gets to a point where he realizes, okay, here's what I want. I just want to go punch a Titan, right? I want all other dragonkind to live, except for maybe Alexstrasza, still pissed at her. But, you know, I'm here for the dragons. I want to kill the Titans. But now I have this void I'm supposed to be working for. But I'm just a tool to them. Like, I'm kind of wondering if at some point we will see him struggle at all.
I could see him struggling a little bit with his choices. But ultimately, I think the biggest distinction between a Riddicron and Deathwing that you could really make is the Void drove Deathwing insane.
That's true.
Where he was a tool to them. Like, he was like, he would do whatever they tell him to do, because he was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? So
yeah. Yeah.
He was off his rocker at that point. He's like, oh no, paranoid, it'll all get out. And they're just like, dance, Papa, dance. Riddicron went into this knowingly. He is fully aware of the choices he has made. So I don't see this as they're going to just use me as a tool and discard me. I think it's going to be, you know what? You're going to get what you want. I'm going to get what I want a little bit. And he's going to try and work that, you know, joint partnership as best as he possibly can. And yeah, I think we will see a little bit of that, or at least mention of him from Zaltath. You know, and it might be a little cryptic. She might say something about, you know, ancient hunger.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And we'll know what she's talking about with the ancient hunger, with the ancient hunger being the essence of Galakrond, that Riddicron gathered for her and all that kind of stuff. So I definitely think that they'll still be talking about a Riddicron, even if he doesn't pop back up. You know, talking about how it's like we've been able to, you know, unleash this unending rage that a Riddicron has upon the world. And it's going to be great. For their little agents of chaos. And yeah. But for Riddicron, though, I think as long as he manages to keep his eye on the prize and not get a little too greedy, I think the Void and him will get along just fine.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because I really don't think they're going to use him as a tool like they did with Deathwing. Because
for his sake, I hope not. Like, I don't want it, and like, I also don't want it to be that much of a repeat either. Like, there could be similarities, but I don't want it to be a repeat.
Yeah, because it's like, even if they managed to try and do that, like if that's what the Void was even thinking, he probably knows that. It's like, yeah, they're going to try and mess with me. So I just got to be on the lookout. And based on the way that the Eridacron and the characterization of him, both in the book and in game, I just don't think he's going to get played like, you know, Deathwing did.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to be safe and sound with at least within the War Within. I don't know about those next two expansions, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's going to be some fun. Coming up next, Illyria. She's back in the picture. We know this. She's had her struggles in the past while working to control the shadow within her. Her significant other is a member of the light. Will we see any kind of internal war with her?
I think yes, big time.
Yeah? How so?
Well, I think as she already, you know, mentioned in the little video that we got dropped, is that, oh, the rest of the world is hearing the sweet songs of the world as they're, you know, hearing little whispers and the voices in their head. She's like, oh, I'm hearing voices too, but they're not the same voices.
Yeah. Right.
So, and I don't think it's that, oh, Illyria is questioning herself. I think the Void is going to be playing a very, they're going to kick their whatever plans they have for Illyria up in high gear is kind of my feeling of it.
I can see that.
And maybe that's when Tyrallian and her have somewhat of a falling out, especially if she embraces more of the path down the Void. I don't know. It's interesting to see where Illyria is ultimately going to go, because if she absorbed the power of Anaru in its Void state and now is, what exactly, the leader of the Void Elves, even though she doesn't quite look like a Void Elf. I don't know. It's very, very interesting what's going to happen with Illyria. Because if I remember correctly, she met Lotus Walker back in Argus. It was like, oh, hey, the Void is really cool and it can do some really great things. Because if I, like, correct me if my memory is mistaken, but I believe she originally met the Locust Walker during the Thousand Years of War.
I believe so.
Yeah, and then we met up with the Locust Walker during our time on Argus.
Yes.
And Illyria was there too and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's a character that's going to be popping back up in the world.
I would love that. Absolutely.
So I think with Illyria, she's probably going to meet back up and somehow with the Locust Walker and continue her training. Maybe that's how she gets the cool new look, right?
Maybe. Like, I've kind of gone back and forth with Illyria. Like, on one hand, for quite a while, it seemed like she, you know, because she got trained by the Locust Walker to kind of control the Void and everything, right? And she seems to have gotten to a good place with it. You know, and she can use it when she needs to say, torture people, for example, which Trillian can see firsthand. And I was kind of thinking that maybe, she's hearing the different voices and they might be louder, but that she's got this. This is fine. There's not gonna be much of a battle. But I think especially because the Void is coming back big time, because Alatath is gonna be back, because Tyrallian and her, you know, like that's a whole thing with like versus Void. Like, I do kind of wonder if there's gonna be a bit of an internal war with her.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. It's,
yeah.
She's gonna be having some struggles. That's what it looks like is going to be happening, at least from what I'm seeing.
Yep. And then moving over to her significant other, Tyrallian's been occupying the Stormwind throne while Anduin's gone. Anduin's back, and he's also with Illyria, and we've seen him kind of grapple with his feelings of how she uses the Void. I'm predicting a lot of internal conflict with Tyrallian for this expansion because of all of that. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of already went over my thoughts a little bit when we were talking about Anduin and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I definitely think Tyrallian have been having an inner conflict. They use Dragonflight to kind of drop hints a little bit. Little minor hints. First one we already kind of talked about, which was, you know, when Matthias Shaw and Gen were talking and it was like, oh, don't tell him. Don't tell him. So that's the first one we already talked about. The other one was when the Othokers, whatever, the dragon folks, whatever, dragoned, I don't remember their stupid names off the top of my head, you know.
Like Emberthal?
Well, you know, but what is their race name? I always forget. Dragon.
Drakthir?
Drakthir, there you go, the Drakthir. I don't remember, they just made it up. I like Dragonkin better, but whatever.
That's a different kind.
That's totally different. Yeah. So the Drakthir, they show up in Stormwind, right? And he was like,
you keep your mother half an eye on these stupid dragons.
Right?
He's like, they can join the Alliance, but you keep your freaking eyes on these people. So I was
I didn't think about that one. Like,
that's a little rough there, Drakthir, don't you?
Don't seem to be really like welcoming with open arms or anything. So okay,
so that's my kind of thing. They do seem to be setting up Tyrion, not as like this crazy dictator or anything like that. He ain't no Garrosh, but yeah, there's gonna be something. It's gonna be something.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've been working with Tyr in his return during Dragonflight, and we've seen him become the Eor version of himself, or Tyror, as we call him around here. He's wrestling with how the world has changed in his absence and what his role is now. Will we see him in War Within? Is he going to be benched for a while? And if we see him, are we going to see more of this internal conflict? What are we thinking for Dear Tyr here?
I mean, I don't really know what they were planning with Tyr with Dragonflight when they were like, oh, Tyr and this and that. And they're like, oh, we made a new body for him. We're going to bring him back. We're like, okay, we're bringing back Tyr. What the heck are we doing when we bring Tyr back?
Like, there's a reason. There's got to be some reason.
Yeah, like you and me were like, oh, they're going to re-empower the Aspects. Azeroth beat him to it. Azeroth beat him to it. We're like, son of a bitch, what's this guy even doing here? And, well, that's the same question he's asking. It's like, why'd you guys even bring me back? You don't need me. So maybe he's going to keep doing that. He's just going to be like, I don't know. I'm Charlie Brown and I suck. And he's like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Tyr. I'm confused why they need him. I don't know. Maybe I'll finally get that confrontation with him and Odin where it's like, Odin, you're an asshole. And he's like, yeah.
And that's one thing. Like, I'm waiting for an Odin and Tyr thing. I feel like that's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, it could. It could. Especially if Tyr's just kind of running around going like, I don't know what I'm doing, man.
Yeah. Because like I could see him reaching out to Odin as he's trying to figure out his life. Maybe. But I don't know what else they're going to use him for in this story.
I don't know.
There's got to be a reason. And I feel like Odin is probably that reason.
Yeah, probably. That's kind of what my guess.
Unless it's also something to do with the dwarves in the next expansion.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe. No? Could be. But I don't think so.
Okay. Next up, Malfurion. He's back. Tyrande and him snuck off for some alone time. I feel like I had her somewhere in this. Did I totally skip her?
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't list her. Malfurion and Tyrande, in general, will they be... Oh, that's why. I included both of them. I can read my own notes. It's fine. Will they be benched? I said a lot of theys and thems in this. I wasn't even reading it. It's fine. It's fine. So anyways, Malfurion and Tyrande, they're back. They're sneaking off for some alone time. Will they be benched for this expansion? Is there going to be some type of feud between them or themselves? What do we think for these two here?
I think for the overall main plot storylines, where we start out with the leveling quests and we move throughout and blah, 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 blah. I don't think they're going to be there. They're going to be benched for this upcoming expansion.
I think so.
They've had a lot of time in the light between from Battle for Azeroth going into friggin' Shadowlands and, from the beginning of Battle for Azeroth up to Shadowlands, we basically just now finished that storyline. It's been going on for a long time. Tyrande has been in the spotlight for 6-ish years. So she can take a break. She can take a break. She deserves a break. Take a break there, Tyrande, as well as Malfurion. You can have a break too.
Yeah, I mean, as is, and they kind of, there's a few characters that they kind of set up for them to be a little more in the spot. Like, Tyrande and Malfurion was like, hey, Chandris, you're in charge now. Knock him out, kid. And I was like, hey, Tess, I'm stepping down. It's all you now. You're good. So I kind of feel like, now again, I think it's because he's going to be out and about doing things with Anduin and whatnot. But like, yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think Malfurion and Tyrande, they're going to be benched for a bit. Like, if Night Elf something is needed, Chandris will be there.
Yeah, I mean, if we get another end game assemble kind of moment, right?
Right.
They'll be there, but they're not going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they're not the main focus in any of the storylines.
It's time for them to be benched a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll pop back up probably in the last Titan when Illidan shows back up or something crazy like that.
Right?
They'll be like, oh, this asshole's back. Okay. Thought we were done with him.
Nope. Speaking of people who have been benched, Velen may be off the bench here soon. Coach may have called him up.
Velen's getting off that bench up real soon.
Yep, yep. And so will he have his own war within? Maybe struggling with the loss of his son. Maybe the struggle of realizing the light may not be what it seemed. Maybe he's going to see Anduin struggling with him and kind of like want to help Anduin, but struggling because maybe Anduin's not all about the light anymore. Like, what are we thinking for Velen?
Velen has been having an internal struggle for a very long time.
He has. He really has.
Like, going all the way back to Legion, he's been... Like, Velen went from, oh, shit, some cosmic force is coming to take over my people and turn us into evil, evil monsters. I'm going to run. And he ran for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Until the Legion expansion, when he said, we're going home. I'm done running. And he was done running. He went home. They went and fought. And it was an amazing expansion. We all loved it. And then he was like, at the expansion end cinematic, Velen went, oh, fuck.
Right.
Like the longest sigh you've ever, like, just like, okay, it's over. And yeah, he's getting off the bench too, because we know that this war that he's been feeling coming up against with the light and void, it's on the way. It's on our doorstep.
Yeah, for sure.
And as soon as that shows up, he'll be popping back up. But yeah, he's been struggling with the fact that not only did he lose his son, but he lost his son for thousands of years to the Legion, right? That probably even hurts even more, right? The fact that his son was turned into a demon and was tortured thousands of different worlds probably over the course of his lifetime. Just crazy crap like that. So, yeah, he's also on top of it, Mr. I can see the future even told Illidan in the same cutscene, was like, our lives were never up to fate. What are you talking about? I honestly think the next time we see Velen will probably be a very different character. He will probably have a pretty different outlook on things, because he's like, no, a lot of what I thought was the truth turned out to be wrong. Like, I was flat out wrong about it. And he might be a different person. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be really cool to see that kind of character growth, especially for someone who's supposed to be alive for over some ridiculous amount of thousands of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, what do you think about Velen? You think he's showing back up at least in the next expansion? Because if not this one, he's definitely showing up at midnight.
Well, I have in my head that he showed up briefly during the Mirror Cell stuff.
Yeah, I think he was there for a second.
I think that was like, this means Velen's coming back. Plus the whole, you know, upcoming Shadow stuff, and it makes sense that he'd be back. Plus, you know, his role with Anduin. You know, I feel like he's going to probably play some kind of part. Him and Thrall will buddy up to help him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do kind of wonder if we're going to see a little bit of a struggle with him and the light.
Oh, I think that's what he's probably been struggling with for a while.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably how Anduin may come around, right? And just,
yeah,
Velen may just be like, look, man, but having the same issues as you. So let's talk about it.
That'll be good.
Yeah, because I think that's where a lot of that is going to come from, is when he's probably going to show back up. Because it's like, yeah, it's like, what are you, man? Like 25 for like 25,000 years. I dedicated pretty much my entire life to the light.
Right.
Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So next up we have, When Emir Drasil Yub-Nub happened, everyone gathered around to celebrate. Old Khadgar was a bit down. He shared that there was news of a harbinger that Iridacron struck a deal with, and he knows Azeroth will need to be defended again sooner rather than later. Will he be around more next expansion? And what could his personal war potentially be?
I mean, I don't know what Khadgar's is. I mean, what do you think it is?
I don't know. Like, I thought for a while it was just going to be the typical Khadgar with the knowledge and the guiding and stuff. And then this conversation happened and they made a point to show Khadgar is down. Khadgar is struggling. Go talk to him. Like, they made a real big point to draw our attention to him and his struggles. And I'm going to be curious to see if he's good old Khagar with the knowledge, his power, and blah, 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 blah. Or if we actually see some character development with him of some sort.
I mean, maybe. Because I guess the only thing that I could really see Khagar playing a role with somewhat soon is if they actually decide to, and I think they, I have a feeling they will. I have a feeling they're going to bring back Medivh. And I think Khagar is going to be the one to kind of like, hey, everyone. So, you know, a while ago, I told you I was going to talk to an old friend. Here he is. So I definitely think that's kind of how that's going to play out. And Medivh will probably show back up.
Yeah.
But what kind of like struggle is Khagar going to have? I don't know. I think Khagar is just, I don't think he was struggling. I think he's just like particularly in the party, because even like he's like, no, I'm good. I just got a lot on my mind. Right. Because, you know, with Zaltath and the Harbinger and everything like that, it must suck being Khagar and the rest of everyone when you just had that good 3-year stretch of peace, right, between Shadowlands and Dragonflight, and then you're like, oh, shit.
Right.
The frickin' 2-year cycle, it's happening again.
Yep.
Some friggin' unknown, awful cosmic threat is coming for us once again. Once As every always. 2 years.
Right. Might be more frequent this time. Who knows?
You never know. You never know.
So here's one I've been kind of wondering about. The aspects. Now, we just spent a lot of time with them, so I don't necessarily think they're going to be in the spotlight, per se.
Right.
But they were empowered by Azeroth herself. Whatever's going on with Azeroth. And it was not from the Titans. We know this. Like, it was from Azeroth. And they were empowered for a reason. Like, for some reason in the story, they were empowered. And I don't think it was just to bring down Farrakh. You know, so probably something to do with Redcron, the Titans, blah, 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 blah. So it's safe to say they'll be around at some point. But do we think it's going to be next expansion? Will they have any of their own inner battles to fight individually or as a group? Who knows? And is this going to play out a little bit?
Honestly, we may catch up with them a couple times during the war with them, but I don't think they're going to play much of a role. I mean, there's probably going to be a quest where it's like, go check in with Alexstrasza, go check in with Virnoth, something kind of like that. Because we've had that in the past where it's like, oh,
yeah,
do this thing, go talk to Ysera. And we're like, oh, we did that. And then, okay, we're talking to Ysera in the Shadowlands. It was like, oh, go talk to Alexstrasza. We're like, oh, Alexstrasza, okay, sure, we'll talk to her. So I think it's going to be something along those lines where they're going to be back in the Dragon Isles. They're going to be in Valdrak and doing their kind of dragon thing. But I definitely see them having a much larger influence come midnight, because it feels like the War Within is where some bad things are going to happen. And it's kind of like going to be like a Harbinger kind of thing. And it's just setting up the crap that's coming up in midnight. And midnight's probably just like, that's where everything, the shit hath hit the fan, effectively.
Right.
And I think that's when the aspects will probably show back up. So I really just don't think they're going to make much of an appearance at all in this next expansion. But that's my opinion.
I'm hoping they make at least some, because I really want to know where they stand now on their thoughts on the Titans. Like, I don't think it's going to be any kind of battle between each other. It's definitely not going to, I mean, we saw plenty of that with the Black Dragonflight and blah, 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 blah. So I think it's going to be more about, you know, possibly what Alexstrasza did in the past, like if she's still struggling with that, I don't know. But I think it's going to be the Titans, and I want to see all of it. Like, I want to see their thought process and how they feel about the Titans now and all of this and how that all plays out.
Yeah.
And why Azeroth empowered them.
Yeah, and I just don't know if we're going to see it in the expansion. We could. I could very easily be wrong. I'm just, because I'm not really sure what that initial questing kind of experience is going to be like.
Right.
That usually sets up what's coming down the road. I mean, obviously, there's some twists and turns along the way. Like, Zerolac Caverns. We didn't know that was coming. But I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how like this could play out. Because,
yeah,
like I said, I don't see them playing a role in the aspects. But like I said, I'd very easily be wrong. Very.
Yeah, we'll see. And last, I mean, we have some smaller roles that we could get into who really want to, but I don't know how much it's going to be there. You know, we got the Matthias Shaws, you know, Jaina's kind of coming back into the picture again, is relieved of duty. now that Gilneas has been reclaimed in the lamest way possible. And I'm not bitter or anything. And you know, so like, again, like, are we gonna see anything, do we think, with them? Like, is Matthias gonna struggle between Tyrion and Anduin and Gen?
So with Anduin coming back, I do think we're gonna be seeing some Matthias and Gen, and even some Jaina, because most likely
Auntie Jaina.
Yeah, yeah, most likely we already know that it was most likely Jaina that actually gave Thrall the portal to Silithus, because, you know, it went
right. Boom,
and you saw the blue when he showed up.
Yeah.
So she's probably playing a role. She's definitely aware of it. We already know that she was getting the voices too. So it seems like they're setting
true.
Her up.
Yeah, forgot about that.
Again, I don't believe he's getting any voices or anything like that. But him and Matthias Shaw, they were the ones that was keeping their eye on Anduin. So they pretty much knew where he was the entire time. Right, they just let him be, just kept an eye on him. And I think whenever he pops back up, he will probably, you know, show up to be like, hey, are you coming home or what? Right. I think eventually that he probably will show up to ask that question, because I don't know. I think Gen and Matthias are going to like play the role of like, come on, Anduin, like, what are you doing? Come on. You got a throne to be on. You don't need to be doing freaking adventures like Logosh.
Maybe he needs to.
Well, maybe he needs to. But yeah, I think Jaina is definitely going to play a role, but she's going to be there. She probably is going to be like one of the main characters that we interact with on a semi-regular basis.
Definitely not. And I don't think she's going to have any kind of like war to deal with or whatever. I think she's going to be busy helping Anduin, working with Thrall, and maybe, you know, rekindling some stuff with Caligos.
There was a little bit of that.
There was a little bit of that.
There was a little bit of that. Well, how you
I'm very
doing,
happy
Caligos?
For them.
How you doing? Caligos is like, you know what? I am doing pretty good. I got family now. Just like me and Vin Diesel, I got family.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Was there anyone else that we think might have some kind of internal war within during this next expansion that we missed?
Internal war within. Let's see. No, I don't think Libby is apparently saying I'm wrong, but I don't know.
Libby is going to have a war within during this expansion.
She has a war within every night I record this podcast.
She's our mascot. She's cheering us on. It's fine.
Is that what she's doing? She seems like she's just yelling at me like, I want to go outside. But if you open this door and then close it, I'm going to yell at you again. That's what
it's true.
Does.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I don't think there's anything else. I think that's, yeah. I think we covered it. At least no one of import that we didn't discuss anyways.
Right.
All right. Well, I guess that's my job, right?
Yeah, I think that's about it. We can start wrapping things up and doing the things.
All right. It's time to do the things and the wrapping and the gift wraps, or I don't
know. You're wrap it. Are you going to wrap it? You should totally wrap this list.
No. That no one, nobody needs to hear that.
Or do they?
No. That's
lay down a beat.
I'm pretty sure there would be like some type of crime committed if I did that. Like it would be very bad. So I'm gonna not do that.
Okay.
No, I can't. But other than that laying down the beat or something, no, because it is the part of the show where we have to say a quick thank you to all the patrons that support us to keep the show going. If you'd like to join their ranks and support the show, you could do that by going to patreon.com/livelaughwar, just like Lex Rance did. Lex! You are amazing. You're a great heel lead, and I cannot wait till you do the thing with the Demon Hunter. I think you got Demon Hunter. I don't know if you got Tank in the thing, but it's going to be entertaining, that's for sure. I look forward to whatever shenanigans we get up to in Season 4 coming in April something something. I don't remember. It was
23rd.
Yeah, 23rd.
That's there first day of it. Yep.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. I look forward to that, and thanks for being a patron. And speaking of patrons, top patrons... Hey, it's top patron time. Hey, and Lex Rance is also on this list. So there you go, Lex Rance.
Thank you, Lex.
Thank you so much. You're amazing. Scissor Lord, you're also amazing. Monkey Valhalla. The Viking monkey themselves.
Viking monkey.
He's like, monkey. I'm like practically picturing like the Skyrim theme song, but like with a monkey, right?
Yes. I'm here for this.
That would be amazing. Speaking of amazing, this Shalil is amazing. And so is Nicol Obre, also amazing. And the Craig Libos, yes, they're amazing there. And Ikis, of course. There's no, nothing better than Ikis. And then they do Night Warrior. Night Warrior. That's just amazing right there. I like that. And of course, we got Mud. Can't forget about Mud. Aphrodon. There we go. Really great. Dungeon Master Book. Hey, buddy. Heard you was working a long day the other day. Couldn't record the podcast, but that's okay. I like that. That was good. Hope you get some rest and get back to it because I like that podcast. And then there's also Greybeard. Greybeard, indeed. Or Grybeard. So there's no A or E in there. Just a G-R-Y. It's strange. But then there's also Decorus. And I appreciate you, Decorus. And I appreciate all of you. You're amazing. Every single one of you. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story.
We like to end every episode on a positive note, and occasionally we get to follow up on ones we've shared in the past. Back in episode 98, I mentioned the month-long charity streaming done by Stonegrasp for ALS Canada. He streamed every freaking day, including three streams where he played the Portal games, which made me really, really happy. He originally set the goal for $1,000 Canadian dollars, and the community blew that out of the water, so he made the stretch goal of $2,000 Canadian dollars. They beat that too. The final total in donations was $2,262.36. Not sure where that came from. In Canadian dollars, which according to the Googles, converts to $1,666.87 in, you know, US dollars. And again, every single bit of that is going to ALS Canada, which helps supply people with, you know, people who've been diagnosed with ALS with the equipment they need, helps for their families, and they help fund ALS research. And, you know, there are still people out there that like to make fun of nerds and geeks. But this money was donated by a bunch of nerds and geeks. And Stone himself, huge nerd. Love him dearly. He worked so hard this month and he really rocked it. He did an awesome job. And just generally, like, this all just goes to show that nerds and geeks are awesome. So we're just awesome.
Well, I appreciate that because I think I'm awesome too. And also think it's Stone true. Is awesome. There you go.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's true. All of it's true.
Yeah, I love that. That's freaking amazing.
Yeah, just a simple little thing. But it's
$1,666.87. That's beautiful. Yeah,
that's not a small amount of money.
No, it's not. It's not at all. Yeah. That's a whole lot more than I've ever raised in any charity stream because I've never done a charity stream.
I don't know. I keep thinking I'm going to, and then I stopped streaming for a while. I should probably get back to that at some point.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe one day if I think it's something that I would actually be entertaining to stream.
Right? And that's my issue. Like, yeah.
I'm pretty boring when I stream because I'm like, I just play games like I'm right there. But whatever. That's not me. I just...
You're funny. It's fine.
Yeah. No. Not when I stream.
Are you having
shit.
Are you having a war within?
Yeah.
Are we having a war? I think we're having a war.
Are we having
I disagree a war? With you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I think we are having a war. It's the war of... I don't know.
The laughs.
Sure. The war of the...
I don't know.
The war of... Oh, you should do stream. I suck at streaming. You don't suck at streaming. Yeah. That's the war. Both of us telling each other that.
Thank you so much for listening to Live, Laugh, Lore. If you have a topic or a question you'd like us to discuss, send us an email at livelaughlorecast@gmail.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore, and you can keep the show going for as little as $1 an episode. You can watch Allie live on Twitch Sunday nights over at twitch.tv/AllieAndres, and you can watch Jin Monday nights at twitch.tv/JinsJoint. You can also follow the show on Twitter at live_laugh_lore. You can follow Jin on Twitter at JinsJoint, and you can follow Allie at AllieAndresK. Meanwhile, be kind and take care.